We continue today on our Lenten journey as we look at the Apostles' Creed. Our text today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 35 through 38, and we're using the Message translation. Let us now turn to the ancient words of our faith. And those aren't them. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to pray with me. Lord of the harvest, come right now. Come into our hearts and make us your church. A church that is ready to move from these walls to proclaim the good news that you have come into the world announcing liberation, freedom, good news that God loves us through and through. Help us, O Lord, to receive your grace and your mercy. Help us, O God, to be your people. In your Son's name, amen. Today we look at those two statements in the Apostles' Creed about the church and the communion of the saints. I'm sure when you were little you may have learned this. I know I taught it when I taught three-year-old Sunday school. I learned a lot about the church people when I was a three-year-old Sunday school teacher. Never taught theology with little ones. They ask too many questions. But you know this one. Do it with me. Have your hands like this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. There's the people. Ah, interesting concept. I have a problem with it. This ain't the church. We are the church. The church here is just a building. Just a place where we gather. A place where we come. But we are the church. So let's look for a moment as to what Christ meant as he instituted the church, what Scripture tells us about the church, what we claim is the church. First, the church is founded by Christ and belongs to Christ. Let me say that again because some of us are a bit confused on this one. The church is founded by Christ and belongs to Christ. It's not ours. Never has been a human invention. Even though we like to think it's ours. It's not the clergy's. It's not the ladies. It is God's. And God is the center of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church belongs to Christ. And it is Christ whom we serve as the church. Though we like to have over the years institutionalized the church, that is a human invention. That is not God's intention. Let me say that again. We have institutionalized the church. That is a human invention that has never been God's intention. The church is Christ. The church belongs to Christ. So as we gather here today, we belong to Christ. We are his. And he is ours. For we are holy, which means to be set apart for God, set apart by God to be God in the world. We are beloved by Christ. If you hear nothing else today, please hear me. You are beloved by Christ. He loves you so very much that he constituted the church so that we are his people. 1 Peter 2:10 says, at one point we were no people, and now we are a people. At one point, we wandered around aimlessly, individual, and now we are a people, for we belong to Christ. The church is a community of redemption and acceptance. Community, a community known as the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, created us to be in community. We are not isolated. We are not alone. We are created by a community of God to be in community. And the church is that community that has been redeemed by the blood of Christ so that we can be redeemed here on earth and be a place where we exhibit that redemption. So how dare us to isolate anyone from that community? How dare us say that some are worthy of redemption and some are not? I'm going to step on some toes, get your shoes off for a moment. We are a community of redemption saved by the blood of Christ, redeemed by his grace. And that grace is open to everyone. None are turned away from God's grace. And the church is the community where that grace should be lived out each and every time we gather in the name of Christ. And this is a place where acceptance should be foremost lived out. Christ died for everyone, and we should offer that to each and every person that comes into our doors. For we are an open, supposedly non-judgmental community, but do you know what the world sees us as? Hypocritical, judgmental, closed. That is sad, is it not? Because when I read the scriptures, Jesus hung out with some interesting people. You know, he didn't hang around with church folks. In fact, he called church people brood of vipers most of the time. He picked fights with church people. He hung around with people who were broken, people who were in need of healing, people who were cast off and in the margins. And if Jesus, who founded the church, did that, so the church should be doing that today. We are a place of redemption and grace. The church is the ongoing presence of Christ in the world. Christ left us with the job of being his presence today, which means we are to carry out what he did while he was here. What did he do? He healed people. He healed their bodies. He healed their minds. He healed their spirits. He healed their relationships, and that is our charge. He fed people. He clothed people. He brought people back into the community. That is our charge. As a community of faith, as his bride, that is what the church is supposed to be about. We are his ongoing presence in the world. What did he do the best? He loved. He loved perfectly. He loved in a way that the world did not understand. He loved in a risky way. He loved where he saw people for who they are and where they are. He loved continuously, even when he was rejected, even when he was thought worthless. He loved. And as his bride, the church, we are called to love in that way. We are called to see past the labels that society has put on people. We are called to see past all the other barriers that we have erected within our society. We are called to love as Christ has loved. We are called to be his presence. We're called to go to those places where a lot of people won't go because that's where Christ is already working. We're called to do those things that don't make sense, honestly. Because when you read the gospel, Christ did some things that just didn't make sense, right? We're called to be his presence in the world today. And I don't know about you, but I think the world needs Christ's presence. I believe in the church. I believe that we're also called to be the communion of saints. That second sentence, the communion of saints. What we mean by that is not only the saints of the past, but the saints of the present. The saints who've gone on before. Yeah, we know of those saints we think of, you know, Mother Teresa and those of past, but they're also what we call ordinary saints. We think of the saints here, right? Who comes to mind for you? Some of the ones we've lost recently, right? Those saints who do the things that make our lives brighter, the things that make our lives feel charmed, the saints who do the behind-the-scenes work, the saints who, when you not even know it, they show up with a meal, or they send you a card, or they pick up the phone just when you are just at the end of your rope. You get a phone call that says, "I'm thinking about you." Actually, if you're baptized, you're a saint. Uh-oh, Tim. We is in a world of hurt, brother. But you're a saint. Look around. Look at all the saints sitting in the pews. We're saints. And each time when we come here, and we come to the table, we're in those thin places between heaven and earth, where we're communing with the saints of old and the saints of present and the saints to come. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a foretaste of when we're all going to be gathered together around the throne of grace, and we're going to be worshiping God. We're all saints, and we're moving toward that time. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, sanctifying grace, where we have come to that moment of realizing through the justifying grace of Christ, of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we realize that we need to be made right in our relationship, and we say yes, and we're going to be moving forward, where we're going to be learning to love perfectly as we move on into perfecting love. And though some of us need to be reminded every day that we need to learn more and more how to love perfectly, we become sanctified saints. We have this communion of where we're in this together, where we're moving forward, even though we sometimes fail. Communion of saints. The church, that forward march throughout history, the communion of saints. I believe in the church. In the communion of saints, because I think that the church is the greatest answer that we have in combating the social ills of the world. I think when the church is the church and not what it's been made to be, when the church is the true bride of Christ, it can do tremendous things in the world. I think when the church is the church, then we can end poverty. I think when the church is the church, then we can take people whose lives have been transformed and become a beautiful community where people can say, "There is Christ walking in our midst." I think when the church is the church, then we can stand up to the powers and principalities of this world, and we can shake the very gates of hell and make them tremble. I think that when we are the church and not the institution, then all the social ills of this world are going to rattle and shake and wonder what has happened. I think that when we are the church and not what we've made it, that all of heaven begins to sing and the angels begin to sing glory, hallelujah. I think that when we are the church, that Gallatin and Hendersonville is going to wonder what has happened down on the bend. I think when we are the church, that our lives gain meaning and purpose, and we begin to look out for each other, and we begin to see that there's worth and dignity in all walks of life. I think that when we are the church, that God is glorified and Jesus Christ smiles at his bride as though a husband smiles at his wife. I think that when we are the church, that we become the saints that we are destined to be. The only thing stopping us is that we need to become submissive to Christ. That we need to get on our knees first and confess those ways in which we have become the institutional church and not the church that Christ intended us to be. And that means that for some of us, and I'm talking to myself, y'all just get to listen in on this one, we need to give up control. We need to say, "Father, Christ, forgive me. I have made this something that you did not intend. I have made it something that glorifies me and not you. I've let my own issues get in the way. So please, Holy God, forgive me. Take me and use me. Use me for your will and your glory. Use me to become the servant you are calling me to be, because the harvest is out there, folks. There are people who are longing to hear the good news. There are people whose chains are wrapped around their hearts who need to hear about the grace of God, and they want to be liberated. They want to be set free. They want to hear that there is a God who loves them, and there is a community of faith willing to welcome them in whatever circumstance they're in. And they need us, the workers in the harvest, to come out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe in the church. I believe that when the church is the church, great things can happen. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.